Blackstone presents Churchill, Eisenhower, and the Making of the Modern World by Christopher Catherwood. This book is read by Anthony Ferguson. In loving memory of my beloved wife, Paulette, 1952 to 2018, my relationship with whom embodied the special relationship, and good friend Jonathan Sandys, 1975 to 2018, Winston Churchill's great-grandson, an advocate in the United States for his ancestors' true greatness. And two friends and colleagues for over a quarter of a century, whose in-step study abroad program in Cambridge, England, gave many American students a taste of British life. Professor Geoffrey Williams, 1930 to 2020, and his wife, Janice Williams, 1945 to 2021. Introduction. One of the great joys of writing this book was the privilege of reading the correspondence between two of the giants of the 20th century, Winston Churchill and Dwight D. Eisenhower. The Roosevelt-Churchill correspondence is well known and often cited, and now we have the chance to read in translation the letters between Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt during the Second World War. But the Eisenhower-Churchill missives are less well known, which is a shame because they are fascinating, not just as a historical record, but also as insights into the minds of two people who helped shape the world in which we live today. By late 1954, many of Churchill's colleagues were hoping that he would retire. He turned 80 on November 30th that year, and Eisenhower was sympathetic to those in Britain who felt Churchill should go out with a wonderful swan song and pass the torch to others. So on July 22nd, he wrote an unusually long missive to the Prime Minister, most of which was on matters of urgency, but some of which was reflective. What could Churchill do as a magnificent gesture of retirement? As Eisenhower put it, "I am certain that you must have a very deep and understandable desire to do something special and additional to your remaining period of active service that will be forever recognized as a milestone in the world's tortuous progress toward a just and lasting peace. Nothing else could provide such a fitting climax to your long and brilliant service to your sovereign, your country, and the world." Eisenhower was very aware that the Soviets were exploiting nationalism. In the 1950s, the understandable desire of colonized peoples to be free of foreign imperial rule. This disturbed him, and therefore an idea came to him as he wrote. He suggested to Churchill that the Prime Minister make a thoughtful speech on the subject of the rights to self-government.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?